Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. Again, from the Acts of the Apostles, the account of Pentecost, a portion of that text from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they, the disciples of Jesus, were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then as Peter begins his sermon on Pentecost Day, he quotes the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my flesh, my Spirit on all flesh. This is God's Word. Please be seated. The limited nature of the Earth's resources is a challenge that is on the mind of any conscientious citizen in the 21st century. Not that long ago, the collective attitude about the Earth's resources was pretty much, it's going to be okay, there's plenty more where that came from. And we use the planet's resources pretty much as if they were inexhaustible. Probably, the most obvious example would be oil. For nearly 100 years, we lived with the notion, seemingly, that the oil reserves were almost limitless. But now we're being told that at the present rate of usage, we will have tapped out the world's known oil reserves by the middle of this century. Now, I don't know how much stock to put in an estimate like that, but this much is clear. Oil is not a renewable, and it is not an inexhaustible fuel supply. It's going to be around for a while, but it's not inexhaustible, and we need to be good stewards of it. And then there's helium, that gas that fills your party balloons and makes you sound like Donald Duck. We're being told now that helium is actually a precious natural resource because we're due to run out of it in about 25 or 30 years, which is going to be an incalculable loss for us, since helium, that's very unique, inert, stable gas, is just perfect for cooling things like MRI machines and nuclear reactors and space telescopes. Someone once commented that because of the rapid depletion of helium, your party balloons ought to cost $100 a piece instead of a couple of bucks at Walmart. And then there's the water shortage that's taking place in the Southwest. There's the reduction of rainforests as the marginal lands are tilled and cleared. It's everywhere in the news, isn't it? The Earth's resources are not inexhaustible. And then there's one other exhaustible resource that affects all of us, and that is our years on this earth. When you were a kid, it seemed like a month was a long time. And a year, say between one birthday and the next birthday, that might as well have been eternity. There was a time in our lives when it seemed like life was almost endless, and there would be enough of it to supply anyone's appetite. But then you get to all of a sudden to be 40, 45, and you start to realize, man, these years are really getting away from me in a hurry. I'm already halfway done with my life. And we're starting to realize just how brief our life on this earth really is. And then we get to those years even later in life, maybe we call them the bonus years, and we really see those years starting to slip away, and we start to say things like, my goodness, what happened to the past 10 years? Where did they go? Our years are a precious resource on this earth, and they are non-renewable, and they're running out fast. Matter of fact, pretty much everything you see around you is a non-renewable resource. Even the so-called renewable resources like wind and solar really aren't. Even the sun is going to run down eventually. It's not going to happen anytime soon, thankfully. But everything in this fallen creation is subject to futility, Paul says. And I wonder if when Paul says that in Romans, he isn't talking about entropy. Entropy is that condition in which everything is tending toward disorder and chaos, like a teenager's bedroom, right? Everything is tending toward disorder. Everything is wearing out. Everything is breaking down. Everything is falling apart. Everything is subject to futility. There is only one thing that is infinite. One awesome, inexhaustible, one eternal entity that has always been and always will be reckless in its generosity to us. And today we celebrate that one awesome thing, and we call it Pentecost. And it is awesome. Right away on the first day of Pentecost, as the Spirit comes and the wind fills the room and the tongues of fire appear and they begin to speak in languages that are not known to them, the people immediately recognize it's an amazing thing that's happening. Verse 7, and they are amazed and astonished, saying, are not these who are speaking Galileans? And later on in verse 12, they say, they were all amazed and they perplexed and they said to each other, what does this mean? See, they were all Lutherans, right? What does this mean, they asked. What a special blessing Pentecost was. The day that the infant church became dramatically aware of the inexhaustible resources of the Holy Spirit poured out on all flesh that day. The Holy Spirit is Almighty, infinite, omnipotent God present with us in the flesh. Not God in some distant heaven. Not God on some loftier plane of existence. Not some sub-God, some archangel who was sent from above to pay us a courtesy visit on earth. Not some impersonal force that you have to tap into by getting your mind right. Like Luke Skywalker, may the force be with you. No, He is God. Holy, beyond our comprehension. And He is truly with us. And He is within us, exercising His unique power to sanctify us, to make us holy through faith in Jesus Christ, creating that faith, preserving that faith, making us holy in the One who perished and died for our sins. And think of what that means for your life. You know, when Jesus walked on the face of this earth, every time He was around, worn out, broken down people were infused with new life and new spiritual vigor and new hope and joy. You know, when the body of Lazarus lay decaying in the grave, Jesus revived it. When the sisters of Lazarus were crushed by their grief, Jesus turned their tears to laughter. When that couple was socially humiliated because they ran out of wine at their wedding, Jesus provided. When thousands of people were languishing in hunger, Jesus supplied them. When the blind and the deaf and the lame and the lepers suffered the ailments of the flesh, Jesus healed them. When the woman caught in adultery was about to be executed by stoning, Jesus gave her new hope and a new lease on life. When Zacchaeus was weighed down with all the guilt from his theft and his stealing, Jesus set him free. Do you see it over and over again? People who are worn out and broken down, whose lives have fallen apart, are infused with a new life, a new vigor, a new hope, and a new joy through the ministry of Jesus Christ. And what is the work of the inexhaustible Holy Spirit but to continue that reinvigorating ministry of Jesus even through the gospel? You know, with the coming of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the gospel, it's like when Jesus was on earth, but in some ways it's even better because now He is more widely available to us. Now we don't have to buy airplane tickets and fly to Jerusalem and try to get through a crowd of millions to tug on His robe to get His attention. Now, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Christ is available to us right here, right where we are, in the Word, in the sacrament. He's available every time you open your Bible. He's right there every time you're on your knees praying. He is right there in the preaching of the gospel. He is right there at the altar and every altar where his sacrament is rightly administered according to his institution. Jesus is present wherever and whenever his people gather together. To do what? To give you gifts. Inexhaustibly. To supply you when you're empty. To change your sorrow into rejoicing, to turn your despair into bright hope, to raise those who are dead in their sins to life in Christ, to lift up those who are downcast, and to exalt the lowly, to feed the hungry, to give peace to troubled hearts, to reassure you by the all-availing sacrifice of Jesus Christ that your sins are forgiven, that your guilt has been lifted, and that through faith in Christ, you are holy. You know, no matter what else in your life may be wearing out, or breaking down, or falling apart, and even if that's your own body, this one awesome, boundless, inexhaustible, only true, renewable resource of grace, the Holy Spirit is quick to minister to you, to strengthen you, to reinvigorate you, and to restore you so that you will not grow faint. Until at last His work in us is perfected in glory. And nothing in life is ever going to fall apart again. Nothing will ever break again. Nothing will ever wear out or run out again, when our joy will one day be complete. So the miracle of Pentecost is not a singular event in history. It is the ongoing story of the Spirit's work in each one of us to renew God's grace in us in every need of our lives, to shower upon us every gift that Jesus purchased for us at His cross, the limitless forgiveness of your sins, the unfading hope of a glorious destiny with Him, the boundless patience in the face of our trials, the inexhaustible joy of the Lord, and the peace that passes all understanding, all from the one true renewable resource, the Holy Spirit, whom we worship and adore. And so we always pray with David in Psalm 51, and let us pray. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.